Good morning again, my friends. This is David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, and yes, again, you are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJCV Radio. Now, more this week on heavenly versus the earthly. Last week, we finished looking at the evidence of God, looking at 1 John 5, 9 through 11, and we ended with this final thought. We need to shift our earthly life and our faith away from the natural man, for the natural man must be put under the cross. We need to lose in the sense of losing our life to the cross, because our life needs to be in Christ. Let me say that again. Our life needs to be in Christ. But sadly, many Christians today continually try to make their emotions and their feelings and their psychic all the hyper-spiritualism out there, a devil under every rock, and the rest of the natural man look and act like what they think Jesus is supposed to look and act like. But the problem with this is our natural man will not behave in spite of doing and saying all of the churchy Christendom practices. Oh no, my friend, no matter what we do, no matter how long we pray and we fast, no matter how long we read the Bible, our natural man is outside of Christ. Let me say that again. Our natural man is always and always will be outside of Christ. God has made it that way. I cannot change it. You cannot change it. No one can change it. But what we can do is do what Jesus told us to do, and that is to come under the work of the cross through God's dealing and judgments in our lives and lose our life so that we can find the life of Christ. But losing comes first, then comes finding. That's right. Losing comes first. We must lose our life so that we can find our life. We can only live one life, either in Christ or in the life of the flesh, the world, the devil, all that. Oh yeah, you know. One constant lesson that we find in the Old Testament is the pattern among the saints of trying to bring to pass the promises and blessings of God through earthly and natural means. Abraham tried to birth Isaac through natural means. God wanted Isaac through a miracle. Jacob tried to obtain the promised inheritance through stealth and cleverness and deceit. But God had brought it, would have brought it another way. Moses, brother Moses had tried to start a rebellion to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt through murder. God had other ideas and ways, my friend. I could go on and on, but if you gather all of these up, you will find the same era. The people of God trying to bring to pass through earthly means and on an earthly level what can be brought to pass only through the heavenly and on a heavenly level. In the New Testament is the same era, and the warnings are given all throughout. My friend, Christianity is about Christ in us. Let me say that again. Christianity, that's the definition of Christianity, is Christ in us. Christ as our life. It is about God's purposes and His work of making us heavenly people who can carry God's purposes for now and then in the eternal ages to come. But instead, the church has, probably your church too, my friend, for the most part, has made Christianity, now listen, about us. Instead of Christ as our life, we have made our life about Christ. Instead of God calling us into His purposes and us being formed together with Christ for that purpose, we have made it all about us calling upon God, not for God's purposes, but so that we can call on God so that He could bless our purposes that we are trying even to accomplish for Him. Oh, wow, that will never work that way. But sadly, the church is obsessed with doing that. And finally, instead of our being formed together with Christ, Galatians 4:19, that's God's grand purpose in our life. You know, instead of that, we have formed a little God, a little G, in our image, making him someone who caters to and affirms us and seems to be interested in nothing more than making us feel good. Wow, nothing more than making us feel good. It's all about our feelings and our emotions and all that. But you see, all of this is merely evidence that, believe it or not, Satan is at work. Oh, yes, he is. Satan is at work in the church. Oh, yes, he is. God gives us this clear test for truth. Amen. John gives us this clear test for truth in his first epistle, but it has been overlooked, and in most churches it has been totally lost. In 1 John 4:1-3, John writes, "Beloved," and that's, I always like that. John always talks about my beloved, I love you, so forth. "Beloved, believe not every spirit." That would be Satan and some men and women that I know. "But try the spirits, whether they be of God, because many false prophets," notice, "many false prophets already going out into the world." Now, this was written in about 95 to 110 A.D., about 195 to 110 years after Jesus died, John is writing this. Wow. And it was written in the church of Ephesus. Wow. "Hereby know that ye the Spirit of God." Every spirit, now notice, every spirit, and the Bible says every, it means every spirit that confesses that Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. Let me say that again. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. Verse 3, "And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, where ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world." So in 95 to 110 AD, the spirit of Antichrist, the same spirit that is in most churches today that denies Jesus and just, you know, it wants nothing to do with the life of Christ in us and us being in Christ, is still in the world from that, you know, from 95 to 100. Wow, wow. This was a big deal, my friend, to the early church, because many scoffers said that Jesus was not a physical man, but it was a spiritual man, so he could not be the remedy for our natural sins. Well, I will tell you, my friend, Jesus is the remedy for our natural sins. The Gnostics really pushed this doctrine and caused big problems for the early church. But John states that the Spirit of God will always confess, which means to reveal or to agree with God what he is saying, that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. In other words, the Spirit of God will always reveal, yes, the truth that Christ has come to dwell in us. That's what John was saying, that Christ has come to dwell in us. And anybody that does not preach that message, anybody that does not share that thought that Christ has not come to dwell in us, is Antichrist. Is Antichrist. Wow. But in doing so, the Spirit of God will always confess and reveal the person of Christ, because believe it or not, they are one in the same who is in us. You see that in Galatians 1:19. This agrees completely with what Jesus was, you know, was talking about the purposes of the Holy Spirit in John 14:16. The work of the Spirit of God is to reveal Christ to us. Let me say that again. The work of the Spirit of God is to reveal Christ to us and in us and then through us. Amen. Next week we will look at what John has to say about the spirit of Antichrist. Now, not the Antichrist that's in the book of Revelations, but the spirit of Antichrist. Another spirit, another gospel message. And that's out in the church, my friend. Do not be deceived. The spirit of Christ is seldom preached, but the spirit of Antichrist does quite well in the church. Amen? This has been David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, trusting and praying. You have a wonderful week. We will talk to you next week. God bless and have a wonderful week. Amen.